저기요.
수지 주세요. 짠.
짠.
Welcome back to the Pocha playlist. A big apology to Jenny. I was sick and now I've passed it on to her and I'm better. But Jenny, your voice is going to be a little bit iffy today.
It's okay. It's my sexy nasally voice, y'all. So here it is.
Husky, deep husky voice.
No, it's not really.
How has your week been?
It's been okay. I slept for like 14 hours yesterday after getting sick, so I'm hoping that I'll conquer this very, very quickly. Luckily, not COVID. We both tested, so I think we're good there. But hopefully, we will not get you sick, Andy, because I think we're going to see you soon, but not too soon.
Mm-hmm. Andy, how's your week been? Have you watched anything by chance?
It was good. I this Saturday, I went to a Korean barbecue place. I went to like an upscale Korean barbecue place down in the South Bay. And it's like upscale, they use like nice quality meat in the sense of like they had Wagyu beef there and they Korean barbecue. And it's nice where they like the person's cooking for you. So it's not all you can eat. It's a la carte. It was really good, but I felt like we felt a little rushed because that place is so popular that it feels like they were churning out people left and right. So she cooked the meat, cut the meat, give it to you, and then she cooked the next one like almost immediately. And the whole like sitting down and getting up to leave was an hour and 15 minutes for a Korean barbecue.
Holy.
Yeah.
Wait, was this really 10 Butchers, Andy?
Yeah, I went there, yeah.
Oh, nice. I've actually heard really good things about it. So was the meat and everything really good?
Yeah. The whole experience I thought was nice. Really, really good. I would definitely go back only if I could like, you know, I really wish they spread it out into like an hour and 45 minutes kind of a thing. Because after an hour, they just handed us the check and I was like, oh man, I feel like really rushed. I feel like I ordered one beer and I was like still drinking that beer. And I was like, wait, I literally just sat down and was getting ready to to enjoy some meat. And then now it's over already. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it's on Jenny and I's bucket list, but it's just so far. But I know a lot of my coworkers all say that that's their favorite K-barbecue place in the Bay Area. But, you know, like, I feel like I don't really like Wagyu that much.
Yeah.
But did you try the Wagyu versus the regular meats?
Yeah, we tried the Wagyu and also tried the regular meats. I also agree with you, too. I think Wagyu is good enough to just try a couple handful of times, but it's just way too fatty. I just want, like, the actual, like, meat as opposed to the fat. And so I would rather just pay more for like a lower grade, I guess.
Dude, I feel that every time I'm like, oh, you know, I don't really like Wagyu that much. I feel so like not bougie, you know what I mean? Like everyone loves like Wagyu and I'm just like, dude, I'll just take a freaking New York, you know, like I don't need it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm glad that it was good. And we do want to try it at some point.
Yeah.
Awesome. So a couple housekeeping notes. We are starting a new drama this episode. It's gonna be Parasite the Grey. We're gonna review this over 2 weeks, 3 episodes today and 3 episodes next week. However, the following week, so not next week, but the week after that, Jenny, Andy, and I will actually all be in New York together for a trip to visit some friends. So there will not be an episode for the week of the 29th. When we come back, we're going to pick up a new drama after Parasite. It's called... Jenny, you want to talk about it?
Sure. It's called Lovely Runner. So, you know, I've heard you guys talk about it a little bit in the Discord and kind of on Insta as well. But basically, this is a show on Viki. It is 16 episodes and it's already currently airing. So we will be doing a little bit of catch up. So a quick synopsis on Lovely Runner is Roo Sun-jae is a top star who's been in the spotlight since his debut. His life seems perfect, but being in the entertainment industry has completely worn him out. Meanwhile, Im Seol loves Roo Sun-jae as an adoring fan. When she was little, she had an accident. Due to that, she gave up her dream, but listening to Roo Sun-jae's song on the radio gave her comfort, and she became his fan since then. One day, Im Seol hears breaking news that Roo Sun-jae has ended his own life. She feels deep sadness over the tragic news. Miraculously, Im Seol somehow travels back in time to 15 years in the past. There she faces Roo Sun-jae, who is a 19-year-old high school student. She struggles to prevent his tragic fate. So this is giving me very like Twinkling Watermelon vibes for people who watched that last year. And we also reviewed that on our on Pocha playlist. But a little bit of sci-fi, a little bit of like idol stuff. I feel like, you know, it seems very wholesome and I'm excited to review it for you guys.
Yeah, that should be fun. So without further ado, today we have Midnight Studio episodes 7 and 8. Jenny, I'll pass it over to you.
Sounds good. Cheers! So this week we'll be talking a little bit more about Hanbum and Kiju's relationship. So they are the main leads of this drama. I think last week we kind of got our first kiss, and this week the romance is definitely going pretty strong. We had an initial rejection from Kiju where he was like, hey girl, like, I'm going to be going somewhere in 80 days, so I don't know if we want to really be doing this thing. But obviously, the feelings kind of, you know, progress and they take over in the end, and we get some kisses, some cute moments. But wanted to see what you guys think. You know, Andy, I think last week you and I were kind of on the same boat, that it was going a little bit fast. But do you still kind of feel this way this week?
No, I think this week feels a little bit slowed down slightly. And then I think they're still building up these moments. I think this is the right moment, I think, right now. Like, they aren't, like, super following each other. I think we do have some stagnation of, like, the push and pull. Also because there is the case going on, so the romance is not in the foreground of everything. It's in the background. We do see at the end of the episode that, like, they do formally kiss. And it's, like, it's a sweet moment. And I thought the timing was well done.
Nice. Brandon, what about you?
I think Andy said it well. You know, I really have not had too many problems with the pacing. I'm really enjoying them. And that one scene that was memorable to me for their relationship in the first episode of the two-episode batch was when they're on top of, like, that bridge. And it was when she was being possessed and, you know, like, you know, him just comforting her and her freaking out because she thinks she hurt him. You know, I was like, oh, you guys are just you guys are gonna be together, and yeah. I'm just eating it up. And I feel like we got a little bit more tidbits about their back history and why they might just be connected or linked. So very, very intriguing relationship so far.
Yeah, I guess on that, do you guys, so people online are not entirely convinced that Hanbum is that first, like, little girl ghost, but we got the info where they have, like, the matching scars and everything. Brandon, are you on the boat that they are, like, a thing? Like, is the little girl ghost actually Hanbum, or do you think maybe not?
So I'm also kind of in the boat now that thinking that it's not, and so I'm gonna trust my gut and go with no, it's not.
Ooh,
but I still think that little girl is somehow going to be a link for Kiju and Hanbum. But I don't think that girl is Hanbum as a kid. Does that make sense? It probably doesn't make sense, but
no, it makes sense. And it's because that's exactly what I'm thinking too. I think that I don't think it's her, but I think it is a link somehow. Like, it could be maybe her twin sister, or, like, that died when she was younger, or, like, maybe it was, like, a cousin or something. And then or, like, maybe the ghost manifested and went into her body. I don't know. But there's a link. I agree with Brandon, though.
Interesting. I'm still in the boat that the little girl ghost is her, because I feel like the fact that she was carrying, like, the camera and everything, like, because we know, like, the camera kind of, like, brings people back to life a little bit. So I just have a weird suspicion, and I think maybe there's some, like, memory loss here where she doesn't really remember a lot of this, or, like, maybe that was a spirit and she went back to life after that. Like, her body was in the hospital and she was, like, wandering around as a ghost, but she went back. So I think it still is her. But yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe it's not that straightforward. So we'll see.
Wait, am I crazy though? I might be imagining this, but didn't they give a name for the little girl?
Yeah, and the girl was like, my name is something, and I forgot the name what the girl said.
And it wasn't Hanbum.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. They did give a name.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's all we really need to put this argument to bed.
Then, well, like, maybe they changed the name. Like, yeah.
Plus, like, Hanbum has this whole thing with the orphanage. I just feel like things could change, you know. But we don't know. But maybe you guys are right. We're taking this too seriously.
We haven't done the teams in a while. I don't remember which drama it was last where we had a little thing going on, but... Yeah. Me and Andy will be team that is not Hanbum.
Okay.
And you can be
Team Hanbum. You know, it might be Big Mouth. Big Mouth?
Big Mouth. Oh,
No. It was my demon on whether or not the guy was bad or not, wasn't it?
I don't think we had solid teams for that one. I don't remember.
All right. We'll start the team.
We'll take the bets. We'll see. All right. Well, let's talk about the other characters. You know, we got a lot of interesting backstory for the detective this episode. Detective Ghost finally catches the bad guy. So he has a big win, but then he also has a really big loss because he goes to his wife's house and he's like, you know, basically planned to get these flowers for her from this one florist. You know, he even got Glasses Ghost to kind of help him out. And then basically she answers the door to a man who literally like hugs her and is like, oh, like, what did he say again? Like, was it like, I missed you? He said something a little bit suspicious. So we were like so caught off guard. But what did you guys think about this little twist of events?
I loved it.
Really?
Not because I wanted my boy to be in pain, but what? It's such an interesting angle because you have a deep, I was about to call him a demon. A demon. I need to put some respect on him.
Yeah, be nice.
He's a ghost who didn't want to move on until he caught the killer, finally catches him, and he always cared for the wife, and then the wife was going to leave him. And so in the trailer for next week, I was really excited because they start to explain, you know, like, ghosts, when they start to get angry, you know, they start to turn into bad ghosts.
Yeah.
And I feel like the way they're going to wrap it up is like, you know, at least you're not leaving your wife alone. Like, she'll still have someone to take care of her when you're obviously gone. And he'll reflect on like all the times where he was just out all day and night catching bad guys and not there for her. So I feel like that's how they'll wrap up the story. And I never thought that they would bring this type of angle for him.
I see. Andy, what about you?
No, I think Brandon said it perfectly. I think I love this because, not because I want it to happen, because I think it's such an interesting angle for him to explore. Like, especially when he sees the divorce papers, so many things is running through his mind. He's like, wait, was she cheating on me before I died, kind of thing? When did this affair start? And then there's just so another side of the story where, like, does she need to get divorced to move on? Like, maybe her signing the divorce papers kind of just showcases, like, oh, I'm married to a dead man now. And she's going to bring the divorce papers to the grave and saying, hey, I found someone I would like to move on. This is, like, a way of me honoring or, like, you know, breaking, I don't know, something like that. Or made up, she just straight up is just, you know, is having an affair in the past and, like, she needs to move on. But I think it's an interesting angle and like, I think it's good, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, I just don't want the wife to be a bad person. Like, I don't know. I just don't like the idea of it. Like, it would be okay if it was one of those things where she was just getting fed up with him for, like, a normal marriage reason. But I hope she wasn't just having an affair with this florist, you know? Like, that just feels icky. So, regardless, I hope they wrap this up pretty quickly. You know, I don't want this to drag out for the rest of the show where it's just like him trying not to go evil because of this florist man that he's now fighting against. It's just also such a drastic change in like your person. You went from a detective to a florist, you know, like somebody who's very aggressive to somebody who's very like, you know, I don't know, good with like flowers. Anyways, so I just hope they wrap that one up soon, but I hear you guys in terms of like the fun plot twist that this is kind of adding in. All right, so next ghost we should talk about is Glasses Ghost. So I feel like the second lead love line is going very strong for me. I'm like genuinely rooting for Glasses Ghost and Jiwon so hard right now, but wanted to see what you guys are feeling.
I'm definitely eating up their relationship, and I love how he's starting to care for her. And I also love that he's the only one that has the ability to, like, go into...
Oh, the possessions?
Like, the possessions. So he's, like, using that ability to help her out now. But I still don't understand how the relationship is going to work because, again, she needs to die or he needs to come back to life. And either would be unfair for the characters, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Andy, you?
No, I think this is best second love line in... this year, calling it. loving it so far. Every single time they're on screen, I'm just like captivated. I want to see what's going to happen because I think like she's going such a hard time and then he's kind of like there just supporting her in the background. She doesn't even know it, and I think that's kind of cute. So yeah, I'm excited to continue to see more of that.
Wait, Andy, you think that this second lead love line is even better than the Dr. Slump single parent love lines?
Yeah, I think so. I'm liking this a lot. Wow.
Dude, I might actually agree.
Blasphemy, both of you.
I feel like, okay, guys.
Shame on both of you.
Midnight Studio as a show, I feel like it's so underrated right now. Like, nobody, I feel like, is really talking about it. But, like, I truly love this show. Yeah. Like, it's not even, like, I was on Drama Beans, and I think it has, like, an 8.3 or something. And I was like, what? Like, holy, an 8.3. Like, this should be a 9er for sure. But, like, I feel like this love lead is so, like, enemies to lovers coded, but in such like a casual, easy to watch way where I'm not like, there's not like too much angst, you know? Plus, like, it's like she doesn't even know that he's there, but like, she's such a cute character in her own right because she's just like, you know, handling all these things that are happening to her. And then plus we have the context of like this evil boss literally killed, you know, the second main lead, right? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, just the way that the relationship's coming together and just how their characters kind of have those conversations, but like not directly. Just, I just absolutely love it. And then when he finds out that she has cancer and that's why she's been doing the things she does, and now he like sympathizes with her, I was like, yes, like let's go. I don't know how this is gonna work, but let's go.
I really like how he is kind of messing with her in the background initially. Like he's being a little bit like a menace in a sense, and she doesn't even know he exists. But now when he finds out that she has cancer and he's realizing like he's kind of slowly falling in love for her, now he's like a guardian angel, and she still doesn't know he exists too, which is like really cute in that background. And sure, it's a one-sided love in that aspect, but I'm liking it so far just because of that.
You're so right about the guardian angel aspect. Like that's kind of what he's turning into for her, and I didn't even put it together, but I think that's one of the reasons why I like it. It went from like haunting, you know, someone that's haunting her to someone who's just like protecting her, and like, oh, so sweet, so sweet. I'm really glad that the actor for Glasses Ghost, I think Yoon Soo, is getting like a kind of romancey role. I feel like we've seen him as a zombie, we've seen him as a goofy second lead who didn't get the girl in
Good Bad Mother,
and then we saw him in another show in Alchemy where he was of Souls. Also second lead. Alchemy of Souls. Oh, he actually gets a girl there. One.
Yeah.
You're right. He got Spring, so never mind. But anyways, I like seeing him in this role. It's really great.
I just got to give some props to that actor. That man does not rest. He is in so many titles. Like at this point, I'm not even surprised when I see him on screen.
Yeah, for sure. He's doing everything. All right. Well, let's get into the case for this week. So we have a really interesting one. So essentially the ghost that we're helping is this counselor who basically the person that he was counseling on the phone was about to jump off a bridge. He goes to try to save her. And instead gets pushed into the river himself. So, you know, initially we're all kind of on the boat, like, oh, this poor soul, he was just trying to help this girl, not, you know, unalive herself, but unfortunately gets killed in the process. But it turns out that he was actually a stalker. So that was kind of the reason that she ended up pushing him, because he was just the one that was making her life so miserable in the first place. So all that being said, wanted to see what you guys thought about the introduction of kind of an evil ghost, because we've had a lot of like sweet emotional ones up to this point. But did you guys appreciate that?
I think you just said it perfectly. I just feel like overall this show is doing a phenomenal job of not making the episodes predictable. Like, okay, it's another case and another case. We're just getting so many different types of cases. And for this time, I was like, oh, we're going to see a case around someone who commits suicide. Like, that's going to be really interesting, because everyone has been they've been murders or homicides, or accidents rather. But this time when they flipped the script and then when she pushed him off.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, my mouth was open. And then it turned out that he was bad. And then it turns out that he's going to stay bad as a ghost.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a very, very interesting angle. And then it's the same episode that's going to lead into next week, where the cop is going to slowly start to get, you know, more and more angry at his wife. So like, we're now covering the bad ghost side of things. So that's, you're right. I thought it was really fun.
That's true. Andy, you?
Yeah, I think Brandon said it perfectly too. I think what's making this show feel really good right now is the predictability. I did not see that twist coming at all. I think like maybe 20 seconds before the twist actually hit, and then your brain's like triggering, which is great, because then you feel like, oh, I got it, but I only got it like 20 seconds before, kind of a thing. And so when the twist hit, I was like, okay, this is great, because this show doesn't like, it kind of keeps you off your toes. It's not predictable. Which is great. And then they still timed the themes what Brandon just talked about of the bad ghost. They introduced that bad ghost can be bad, and they can stay bad, and that leads on to the next episode of like, oh, okay, now that's just a foreshadow of what might happen to the detective. And the way they link everything, just, it's done really well. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think definitely what you guys touch on, the unpredictability, has been fun. I do worry a little bit, just because I feel like now we have the main bad ghost, who was kind of the one controlling the truck driver, and we've barely got anything about him this week. It was just like him, he's like eating cats, which is weird, but like, I don't know, there's a lot of dead cats and he seems to be the one that's like stuck in their energy. But like, now that we have that big ghost and now we have the stalker ghost who we thought died, but then obviously didn't die, he came back. Like, I don't really know how we're going to be able to explore the big bad ghost with the second bad ghost, or like, do they team up and there's like a team of bad ghosts now, or like, I don't know. Like, I'm just a little worried that that's gonna get a little bit out of hand, but so far this drama has not disappointed me, so I am excited to see where it goes. I hope Detective Ghost thing, like I said earlier, blows over quickly and he's like solidified as like a good person. But I do also worry that if he then finds like his peace, then there's no one in this group who can protect everyone. You know, like, nobody has, like, aggressive ghost powers other than Detective Ghost. I'm like, y'all are screwed. And Detective Ghost goes away.
There's only one protection that is powerful than these evil ghosts. And we're getting a glimpse of it. And it's the power of love, Jenny. All right? We got these two main couples. And they're going to defeat this evil of love.
Wow. I know, they just have to be within 6 inches of each other at all times for us to be okay, I guess. Oh yeah, so we'll see where this goes. So far I'm loving it. I mean, we are midway, so just wanted to see what you guys think of this show overall.
I think it's great. I mean, for me, outside of any truly ridiculous things happening in this show, I think this is a solid number one drama for me. Like, I really, even if I wanted to nitpick, I can't really find anything.
Yeah, you're not too bored with it?
No, I mean, how could I? Every episode throws another curveball at us.
Yeah, that's good. Andy?
Yeah, I agree with Brandon too. I think the show is phenomenal to watch. I'm enjoying it every single time. I don't have that many gripes. Maybe some gripes would just be like these evil ghosts that just seem so sinister that we have no idea what they're going on. When they take like over bodies too, when the stalker ghost took over our main female lead's body, and I was like, oh man, now we're going the body snatchers over here for that. But like, that's not that much of a gripe. I guess it's a way to like help force the main characters together.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what's still so good about this show also is we're almost halfway.
What maybe, do you mean? We are halfway.
Or exactly halfway. Uh-huh. And we still haven't even gotten like the throwaway lovey-dovey scenes between the two main leads.
Yeah, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, and like, honestly, I don't even think we will get that, and we're already just loving their relationship.
Yeah,
or at least I am. So, you know, I there's just so much to look forward to.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's good. I also agree with both of you guys. Like, you know, midway point, I think so far it's trending pretty high, and you know, we'll see where it goes. But as long as they don't bite off more than they can chew, I think we will be good. That is my wish for this show. And I think if anybody is like not watching Midnight Studio, I really think you should give it a shot. I think it's actually one of the better shows we've watched this year in terms of pacing. And, you know, even with the ghostly aspect, right, I don't think it's too overwhelming on like a horror front. So I don't know. Like, if you just like cutesy K-dramas with an emotional hit, like, I think it's pretty solid. And I would say, you know, if you're not into like individual stories, you might not like it as much. You know, if you just want like the main lead and that's it, like, maybe this has too many side plots. But I appreciate the side plots, so definitely recommend.
Very well said. Well, all right. I think that wraps up the Midnight Studio. I'm very excited to get into this next review. We're going to be reviewing Parasite the Grey, the first three episodes. Andy, I'll pass it over to you.
Cheers! Yep, so we are doing Parasite the Grey. This is a Netflix K-drama, a Netflix original, I believe. I think this is based on a manga, and they converted it into a live action. I'll pass the Asian Wiki over to Brandon, our resident horror enthusiast.
One day, mysterious parasites fall from the sky. They enter humans as their hosts and also murder other humans. The parasites begin to create their own force. Humans must now fight to stop the invading creatures from taking over the world. Chung Soo-in, played by Chun Sohee, is penetrated by a parasite, but the parasite fails to take over her brain. Chung Soo-in and the parasite begin to live together. Seo Kang-woo, played by Koo Kyo-hwan, chases after parasites to find his missing younger sister. Choi Jung-kyung, played by Yi Jung-hyun, is the chief of the Parasite Task Force. She lost her husband to the parasites, and her life goal is to eradicate them. Very, very solid Asian Wiki.
Yeah, good job, Asian Wiki.
We are in episodes 1 to 3, so halfway through the show, and essentially the first 3 episodes is mostly just world building, explaining what these parasites are, introducing the police force, introducing the parasite side, what is, you know, each other's goal, essentially, and introducing the main characters, I would say, in the first 3 episodes. So for this is definitely a sci-fi show, and because it's a sci-fi show, there is going to be a lot of world building elements that they need to do for the show to make this believable about what is the parasites all about and whatnot. So let's move first to first impressions. I hand it over to Jenny first.
Yeah, so I didn't really know what to expect going into the show. I think, you know, Brandon usually loves the horror stuff, and I feel like it's kind of a hit or miss normally for me, but I actually found the plotline pretty intriguing. I think there's just a lot of factors that are happening, and it was pretty interesting. Like, I didn't lose interest or thought it was, like, too hard to explain, or, like, you know, sometimes when we start these apocalyptic world shows, it gets frustrating because you spend most of the show just everyone's running around with their heads cut off because they don't know what to do about things. But I appreciated the time jumps and kind of the pacing and just the information gathering that has already happened. So I thought that helped keep me interested in the show. In terms of the characters, I think I'm rooting for the main character so far. She seems very, very interesting. And I honestly, I'm rooting for a parasite even more. I feel like her parasite's really cool, and I just want to know what her parasite's thinking about. And then the side characters all have their interesting quirks as well. So overall, pretty positive. You know, this isn't typically the genre that I appreciate the most, but I will say I'm intrigued, and it's, you know, it keeps me going. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, very well said. I have very similar thoughts. You know, I never watched the trailer. I really didn't know what this drama was going to be about. But for this one, just the name Parasite kind of helped me understand what type of show this was going to be. And even like the cover art, it's like the girl with the parasite coming out of her face. Mm. So I went in kind of excited. I was like, okay, I think I know what I can expect. But, you know, for me, sci-fi and horror, there's like a Venn diagram, and this one really falls in between both. It's not pure sci-fi, like Silent Sea. I would put that more towards sci-fi. This show does have some horror aspects. We do see some gruesome scenes, like the, you know, the mutilated bodies and stuff, like, so it can get pretty gory, and so I appreciated those scenes. Right off the bat, I think within the first like 20 minutes, we're introduced to just how quickly a parasite can take over a body and wreak havoc. So it really hooked me for my first impression. And I thought this show did a phenomenal job of the world building and setting up the factions very, very quickly. You have the girl and her parasite is one faction. You have all the other parasites, another faction. You have the cop. I put him on his own. And then you have the parasite, I think they're called like the Gray or something like that, right? The organization hunting the parasites. Mm-hmm. They had like a task force unit. But anyways, I think they're like their own faction. And I feel like we randomly picked just the even number down the middle, 3-3. And I felt like the end of episode 3 couldn't have been a better place for us to stop, because it's right after she gets the helmet put on her. So I have no idea what to expect. I don't even know how I can predict anything, because this show is so wild for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's just so many characters for the show, because we get introduced, which we'll probably talk later, but there's this human that is helping the parasites as well, being a double agent, and so that's how the parasites get information on them. So there's so many complex, or like not complex, but so many characters in the show that's not just a clear cut of just parasites versus humans, in a sense. For me, the world building, I think this is really hard, because the world building, they really need to introduce the parasites really well. I think they did a really good job of like, okay, these are the parasites, this is what they're here for, and this is what they're sustaining. They need to kill humans because they need to eat them and whatnot. So I think that is there. The gripes that I do have for the show is the characters themselves. I'm not really a big fan of most of the characters, I would say, in the sense that, like, I feel like this is not just parasites versus humans. For me, I don't really want to say it, but I'm kind of comparing this a little bit with Shop for Killers.
You're crazy.
I don't know. Like, the way I'm also seeing this too, it also feels like the manga doesn't translate well into the show. I didn't read the manga, but when I say that, it's like, you know when a show is written truly for a manga role and you convert it to a live action, it feels like the dialogue feels a little bit, you know, off, or a little bit too animated, or too, little cringy. So for one example I can talk about is the main main agent girl, the one that's leading everything. She seems a little bit psychotic in the sense that, like, oh, we're going to kill all these parasites. And, like, the way she introduced the parasites felt a little bit psychotic. I was like, oh, we make sure you guys scan. What is these parasites kind of a thing? So for me, it feels a little bit too unrealistic, a little bit too goofy in that aspect.
Interesting. I will say I looked into it. So I think Parasite, there's a manga called Parasite the Maxim, potentially, or just there's like the Parasite universe, and I think Parasite the Gray is supposed to be a separate story, so it's separate from Parasite the Maxim and the original manga, and it exists in the same universe apparently, but it's not like a direct adaptation of a specific story. Does that make sense? So I think, I don't know if like all the characters in, yeah, I think it's a standalone. I don't think it's a direct adaptation. It's just like using that universe. So I don't know if that makes you feel a bit better, but I do hear where you're coming from. I do think that the main task force lady is a little crazy, but I feel like that's why she's going to be kind of a villain in this. Like, I think she's not going to be like a good character who's trying to help everybody. Like, you know, she has a very specific goal in mind, and I can see why she feels that way, because her husband was literally taken over right in front of her face. So like, I get her, but I see where you're coming from.
This feels like another one of the shows we just watched last year of like, oh, we got alien invasion, but it's not the aliens you have to be worried about, it is the humans. And I was like, oh yeah, another one of these. But yeah,
wait, so sorry, you mentioned earlier, you said it's like shot for killers, but I don't really know where you're coming from there. Can you explain that piece?
Yeah, I think the characters themselves, like the villains, feel a little bit goofy. Female lead very, very makes me similar to the other female lead in Shot for Killers, in the sense that like she is kind of like the same straight face, and she is kind of like, doesn't really have anything, but oh, she suddenly got these skills kind of a thing in that aspect. This one is definitely a lot better because the parasite actually is pretty badass, I would say that. But the regular character herself feels a little bit too one-dimensional or just a little bit flat right now.
I see. Like, her personality is that she just like lost her family and is struggling, and or not lost her family. Actually, sorry. No, she like was abused as a child. Yeah, yeah. And she called the cops on her father, and now she's just having a really hard time with life. But I get it. I see what you're saying.
I just feel like for me, with the show where the premise is alien parasites, I just automatically give everyone a lot of rope to be as eccentric and as wacky as they want to be. So like that person leading the gray team, you know, at first I was like, why is she so against the parasites? I mean, there's an obvious answer, right? Like, you know, but when they go into her backstory about her husband in that shopping mall or their grocery store or whatever, I thought that was a really interesting backstory. And then, you know, that husband, she's basically kind of weaponized him.
Yeah.
And then when the double agent, you know, killed him, I was really hooked into I really wanted to see how the cops storyline was going to play out. So like, from that perspective, like, some of that stuff really didn't bother me because I knew it was going to be really interesting storyline going forward.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just really hard to follow when the main cop or main detective has this past. Like, I think it would be fine if she's like, you know, not the head honcho, but like, you know, just one of the regular cops that, like, you know, my husband died and now she's got a vendetta against the parasites. And I think that's fine. But like, for all these other cops and task force to be under her as the main head honcho feels a little bit too like, oh, okay, another one of these, because everyone's got to follow her orders like strictly. You can't go against her because she's the first one to discover the parasite, kill her husband kind of a thing, and take control over the husband. So then I'm just like, oh, I think I lost the sour taste in my mouth, or I got the sour taste in my mouth from that aspect of that. We can talk about the parasites a little bit more. I think we do see that most of them, they can tell that each other are parasites. And now they're in this collective, in this like church kind of a thing. And they are out there to kind of, they're currently hiding and trying to like basically kill more and harvest more humans, and they're working with this side agent right now.
Yeah, what is their goal again, Brandon? Is it to like, oh, they obviously want to take over the world, but what's their immediate action right now?
I thought they were just trying to survive and not be hunted. Do they have some mass, like, big agenda that they're trying to do outside of just survive?
I mean, they obviously want to take over the world, but I think at the church sermon, they were talking about how, like, they just have limited resources because, like, whoever's been possessed has essentially gotten possessed. So, like, it doesn't seem like they can necessarily jump hosts. So, like, at this point, they're just trying to eat as many people as they can, right? I don't know. I feel like I'm losing track of, like, the main objective.
It feels weird. So, for me, when the aliens come down, I feel like they had a clear goal. They would just, like, you know, if they're intelligent, they would just, like, spread out. Like, maybe, don't they have, like, a staff meeting beforehand before they fall into this planet? It's like, all right, we're going to come down. We're going to eat everyone. But now, after coming down, like, oh, shoot, this didn't work out. We're going to have a staff meeting in the middle of this mountain kind of a thing. And then, and it seems like they're all very powerful, too.
I just think it's one of those things where the humans are putting up a stronger resistance than they originally thought. And obviously they're being hunted, like they're doing meetings in like abandoned warehouses and stuff. Yeah. And they have to, I think they're calling them kitchens, you know, where they just like store the bodies so that they can feed on. So, you know, I just think it's really just going to be like an alien versus human storyline. But that's why I felt like the main character's storyline is really interesting because one, I still don't fully understand why she can't fully take over. Like, I get the explanation off the bat where it was like, I needed to focus my energy on making sure you don't die first, so I couldn't fully take over you. But then, like, what's stopping you now that the main character is fully healed? So that part was a little bit confusing for me. But she obviously is not siding with the other aliens, and I want to know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like she has, like, a secret agenda, you know? Like, I would assume that if you're, like, brainwashed to be, like, you know, I gotta make sure that my clan, my parasite clan can live on Earth, I would sacrifice myself in order to do that if I was, like, really gung-ho about the parasite life. But, like, she seems to be very, like, she just wants her own survival. So maybe it's kind of like, well, if I can survive in her body as, like, half-human and the humans have a better chance of winning, like, maybe that's why she's, like, hedging her bets right now. Like, I can't tell, but she's very intriguing as a parasite. And I care more about her than the host that she's in, to be honest, like, which is kind of sad to say. Like, I want to root for her as well. But, like, I'm just very intrigued by the parasite. She seems very smart and, like, very interesting.
I think one thing they didn't really explain either is if all the other parasites need to feed on human bodies to survive, why isn't the main girl doing that also?
Yeah, that's fair too. Yeah, I think maybe that has to be explained, just of like her coexisting with the regular human. So she is part human, part parasite. So in that aspect, like, as a human, maybe you just eat substance as like eating ramen and something, and that might be good enough to feed the parasite, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah, that's interesting. Going back to the gripes, Andy, I would love to get your take on what you think about Cao Kang-woo's character. So we love him from DP. I just took him as some ex-gangster thug looking for a sister, finds out the sister's dead, and now he's just really involved. But did you have any big gripes about him?
No, I actually like his character a lot. I think he's the side character that kind of helps out, like, this girl. He's the first instance to meet, you know, I guess, I kind of want to call her Venom, but, like, because she is basically, like, Venom, like, the superhero Venom.
Oh, that's a good name. Oh, that's a good nickname, Venom.
Yeah. But, and he's the one that's figuring out all these mysteries, and he's kind of, like, quirky, too. And then when he, like, runs away from the barn and runs into the thugs, I thought that was really, really cool, because then the thugs were just like, what are you villagers going to do against us, kind of a thing? We're going to beat your ass up, kind of a thing. And then they got their ass beat. I thought that was really fun scene right there.
Yeah, he's really cool. He really just got wrapped into this whole thing.
Plus his sister.
So he's involved.
His sister, yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, the cop, you know, I have no gripes with him. I love that he's trying to stick by the main character. But did you have any gripes with his character?
No, I definitely also didn't have any gripes with his character. I think he's doing the good thing. I think he's also, like, very wary about the parasite. That's why he brought his gun and everything. I think his actions feel really realistic in the sense that, like, okay, I got to be careful. She's probably, like, a parasite, but I don't want to, like, be fully confirming with that. And then when he gets kicked by, the side character, the thug. Are we calling him thug? Are we calling him when he gets kicked and off to the side, I think that was good because it showcased that, like, you know, not everything is a happy ending, and he, like, sure, he's doing the best for her, but like, he's also trying to figure out what's going on. So I think his character's realistic.
I think the only gripe that I can think of was they had such a rough opening to this show with that one character that stabs the main character. Mm. And I was like, for the writers to have written such a wild character like this, he has to be important or come back, or there has to be some meaning for his aggression. Or I'd off the bat thought that he was already one of the parasites. He was just a crazy Korean guy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. No explanation whatsoever. I thought that really threw me off. I just kept waiting to go back to him, and they never talk about him.
Yeah, because I think he just died. He just straight up died, right?
He just got split in half. But I was like, why did you have to, like, make him so crazy? But, I mean, obviously because she needs to get stabbed. But I thought that was kind of weird. One other small nitpick that I had. The double agent needs to go and kill the husband. He did it in the most extravagant way. Yeah. It's just so unnecessary. He could have just done it in the car. He, like, undoes him, stabs him, like, five times, like, throws him around, makes a whole big scene out of it. I was like, why were you so extra about this?
And how is there no guards on that thing? This is your radar. You got no guards protecting that car? Yeah.
This is your prized weapon, and it's still her husband. I'm like, you're just gonna leave him in an open van like that? That's crazy. But
they
did that
for, like, every other raid too. Even the first raid they did, like, they were just like, they just found him and they were like, what the heck, what are you doing here? And then obviously the wife comes out and kills him, but, like, I feel like they definitely did not think to protect him as much as they should have.
All right, so
last question then. I would love to get your guys' predictions, and maybe we can end on that.
I'll give one of mine. I feel like there's more than one parasite human hybrid, and I feel like we're gonna get some of that in the next couple episodes. And I assume that the ending's gonna be a cliffhanger, because I feel like the 6-episode Netflix ones are always little cliffhangers. Ooh. But I feel like there's going to be the parasite group, the humans, and I think there's going to be another hybrid group where it's like half human, half parasite people, and they have, like, their own little plan to, like, survive. So that's my prediction for this show.
I think that it's going to not be end up being, you know, good bad parasites versus the the gray team. Uh-huh. I think with the main character, obviously she's not going to stay weaponized with the helmet for long. I feel like she's going to turn some of the bad parasites, or the parasites following the cult leader. I think it's going to be like bad parasite group, good parasite group, and the cop. Like, we're going to get three fully fledged factions, and it's going to be a three-way battle towards the end. And I think that way you're going to be able to see, the cop will see, like, okay, maybe not all the parasites are bad.
Interesting.
But they got to eat the humans, though.
And it does suck that, you know, they really have to take over humans. And if the parasite dies, then the human dies. So a lot of people are dying. So that sucks.
Well, it's like the moment someone's gotten taken over by a parasite, they're dead, right? You just have to consider them gone. Unless they're a hybrid like she is. But, like, the people are gone at that point. Like, there's no way to rescue them.
I feel like, okay, my prediction would just be, like, I think there's no way for the parasites to live, because in this world, it feels like all the parasites are very deadly, except for that one parasite, right? Except for Venom. Everyone else just seems to want to just kind of kill and eat humans. And so if that is their end goal, I feel like there's no way for them to just survive. They're not like, they can't just eat pigs or cows, I guess. They're like, they're just straight up parasites, because their whole face changes and they're so, like, gruesome. So in that aspect, I think they all kind of have to die. But I think Venom's going to survive, though.
So all the parasites except for Venom is going to stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So you think that we'll get a resolution by episode 6?
A resolution? No, we won't have a resolution. Yeah, I think we're going to be a cliffhanger for season 2 for sure.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a season 2. I can already tell by the pacing. Like, she gets caught. Yeah. You know, next 3 episodes, she's going to break out. And then there's going to be like, oh, a big reveal on episode 6.
Oh.
Yeah. the big cop is actually a parasite. No, there's no way she's a parasite.
But yeah, anyways,
the ear threw me off though. She had a magnetic ear.
Oh, yeah, she threw. Yeah, I was like, what is going on there? Catch.
What is this magic trick?
That was pretty wild.
Do we think the old cop, the grandpa, dies, sacrifices himself, living?
I think he's living.
Okay. And then what is going to happen with... Are we really calling him Thug?
No, let's come up with a nicer name. What's a nice gangster?
Oh, I just thought of another gripe that I had. How the hell did he botch that assassination attempt?
Oh, in the first episode?
He could not kill that gangster in that karaoke room. I was like, wow, how do you botch that?
That's the biggest surprise attack, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah. What do we think about his storyline? Andy, anything good?
Love line?
With a parasite?
No.
She's cool, man.
She's kind of cool.
She has a like deep, sexy parasite voice, too. That's pretty wild.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed this review. I'm enjoying the show. I hope you guys are enjoying it as well. Andy, very sad to say you're comparing it to Shop for Killers.
I know. Because
that's your most hated show ever. But hopefully the next three episodes can impress us. Next week, we're going to continue reviewing Parasite the Grey episodes 4 through 6, and then we'll rank it, and then we'll continue Midnight Studio episodes 9 and 10. Jenny, socials?
Yeah, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, a bunch of players. Check out our Ko-Fi and our Patreon. Patreon is where we will be reviewing Marry My Husband this month for our Patreon episode. And finally, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Andy, please sign us out.
It's the Puncher Playlist, and we're out.